going to talk today about the wonder of His people. And all I have to say about that today is God's plan for redemption is for everyone. God's plan, Jesus came for everyone. Remember the message that the angel gave at the birth of Jesus. It said it was good news of great joy, say it with me, for all people. Jesus came for all people. If you'll allow me just a minute to kind of set the scene for you this morning, I'll share with you some things that I'm going to build up to. I want to introduce to you two people in my message today that you may not remember or have thought a lot about, but I want to talk for just a couple of minutes about Simeon and Anna. It's 8 days after Jesus has been born. Mary and Joseph takes Jesus to the temple for the ceremonial rituals and for the things that they have to do and make the sacrifices that they need to do. And there have been people waiting for the Messiah to be born. And like Lou said earlier, I thought you were going up. Like Lou said earlier, you know, people were expecting him to come in on a white horse from some other country, I guess, or to be raised up in Israel and become the king of the nation of Israel and take over and run out the Romans and run out all their adversities. But how many knows God had a better plan? God had a different plan. And as he said a moment ago, God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think they ought to be answered or they're going to be answered. But how many knows Father knows best? Father knows best. And so these guys have been waiting in the temple for the Messiah to be born. And they've been waiting for a long, long time. And I'm reading this morning from the book of Luke chapter 2. I'll read about 10 or 11 verses, beginning with verse 22. If you have your Bibles, Luke 2 and 22. We'll drop down and read probably through verse 32 today. Have you found it? Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and eager, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Can I just stop for a minute and say, I've heard people say in my lifetime, I will not die until Jesus comes. And guess where they're at now? Not in hell, but they're dead, okay? They're dead. You better be careful when you say, you know, I'm going to live till the coming of the Lord, because not everybody that says that actually gets to see that come to pass. But God had told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit of the Lord led him. Everybody say, led him. Don't you love being led by the Spirit of the Lord? If we will learn to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, we will always be in the right place at the right time. If we're led by the Lord. And that day, the Spirit of the Lord led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I mean, that's the only thing he was living for, was the coming of the Lord. I'm ready to go. I've seen the Lord. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared. Notice those next three words. He's prepared salvation for how many? All the people. He is a light to reveal God to who? The nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Watch this little video clip, and then we'll come back and finish this message. He understood something so profound. He understood something that possibly Mary and Joseph didn't even understand at that time, that he was not just the Messiah for Israel, but he was going to be the Messiah for all people. Thus the title of my message, The Wonder of His People. God has always been for all people. How many knows he's for the down and outers? He's for the up and outers. God is for all people. It's always been God's plan from the very beginning. In fact, Darlene, I thought was going to preach part of my message last week when she got into Genesis chapter 3, but I'd like to go back and revisit that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, because there's a prophecy there right after the fall of Adam and Eve, and God's just speaking, and he says, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This is the very first glimpse we get of a Savior coming to this earth as a Redeemer to all mankind. He's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. Now, we don't know much about him personally during this era, but as Jesus is born and he comes to life and he begins to show us the works of the Father and begins to show us the will of the Father and begins to show us the love of the Father, we begin to understand who this Jesus is and why he came to this earth. Can I hear a good amen? And then in Genesis 12 and 3, God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you. Him who dishonors me, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, shall all the families, how many? All the families, how many? All the families of the earth be blessed. Not just the Jews, not just Israel. And I know sometimes, we think, well, Jesus only came for the Jews. How many knows he did come for the Jews? But the Jews dishonored him, rejected him, right? And he came to the Jews first, but the Bible said that he will save, in Matthew 1:21, that Jesus will save his people, Israel, from their sins. But in John 1:11, it says he came to his own, but his own rejected him. In fact, one translation says his own didn't even want him. Can you imagine the rejection? How would you feel if you give your child a gift this Wednesday or Thursday for Christmas, and you're so thankful that God provided for you to get this gift for them, and you're so excited to give them this gift, and how you just can't wait for that child to open that gift and play with it or look at it and just enjoy it. But they take that gift and they open it and they look at it and they throw it over in the corner somewhere and don't even want it. How many knows that would hurt your heart? Come on, church. The rejection of the gift that the Father gave the child. I don't know about you, but I get excited watching our children and our grandchildren open their gifts. That's fun to watch them open their gifts. But to toss it aside would break your heart. And that's exactly what the Jews did with Jesus. God loved the Jewish nation. He started the Jewish nation. He formed them. They were his chosen people. And he brings them a gift, and they reject that gift and toss him aside. How many knows he gave them the greatest gift that anybody could ever give anyone? But you know, God always knew in his heart, God knew that they would reject him. God is all-knowing. I said God knew the Jews were going to reject him, and God also knew that Jesus was for all people. Amen? He is for the world. Amen? All people. Always been at the heart of God. God's always had a heart for people. Sometimes I wonder, do we have a heart for people at Solid Rock? I wonder if those that are watching by live stream, do we have a heart for the lost people? Do we have a heart for the people that have not yet received the gift of Jesus? Are we concerned? Does it hurt our hearts that people are rejecting Jesus and turning away the message and turning up their nose at Jesus? I want to tell you something. Jesus loves everybody. And you know what? When Israel rejected him, it didn't take him by surprise, but he still had a plan. Darlene, he still had a plan. He came for all people. How many knows he came for the pagans? He came for the heathen. And he came for you, thank God. How many knows that Jesus, remember in the Old Testament book of Jonah? Remember when God told the prophet Jonah, I want you to go to the pagan nation of Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh, to the city of Nineveh. And I want you to preach the gospel, preach the word to them. And Jonah didn't want to go because he knew the message was so simple that they would turn from their wicked ways. And they were such mean and ugly pagan people that Jonah didn't even have a heart for them to come to know God. Read it. It's in the book of Jonah. Jonah got his feelings hurt. Jonah got bitter. Jonah complained when God saved the city of Nineveh. Hello? Think about this for just a moment. Nineveh was a pagan. I've told you before about some of the ways that they would do people. They were known for skinning people alive. Rather than kill them with a sword, they would skin them alive. They would dip them in tar and set them on fire. They were some of the worst people on the planet Earth. But remember, God said, I love all people. And that's why he sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach the word to them. And you know what God said to Jonah? He said in Jonah 4:11, he said, should I not spare Nineveh, the great city? Wherein there's more than 120,000 people in that city, they can't even discern their left hand from their right hand. You know what he's saying? They're about as spiritual as a mule. They don't know right from left. They don't know anything about God. But if you'll preach the word to them, if you'll tell them that I'm their God, they will repent. And they did. That's how easy it is to get people's attention for the Lord. Somebody shout amen. So back to Simeon, what a beautiful picture. He saw it. He had seen it for years and years and years. He knew that the Messiah was coming. He understood the truth. Then he understood that the baby Jesus wasn't just for one nation. He was for the entire world. The Bible said he would be a light to the Gentiles. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm this morning. I know you're hungry, but bear with me a little while. Now, there's another person in the story that I want to talk about and shows us that God has a heart for everyone. And we find this one in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. There's another precious lady here that knows something about the coming of the Messiah. Anna, a prophet, was also in the temple when Simeon was there. She was the daughter of Phanuel, from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had only been married for 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. Now, there's a good prayer sermon right there. She was there night and day, worshiping God, fasting and praying. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. Now listen, look at this last line. She talked about the child to who? Y'all see that this morning? She talked about Jesus to who? I want to say it again. She talked to Jesus about Jesus to who? Everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. This is an 84-year-old woman, saw the Messiah, and now she goes out and evangelizes and talks to everyone she knows about the coming, that the Messiah has come. I mean, this old lady was faithful, wasn't she? Now, if I remember right, they called her an old lady. Let's see here. Wasn't that in the Bible? She was very old. She was 84. So I guess we can say 84 is very old because that's what the Bible says. How many knows I'm not very old yet? There's nobody in this church very old yet, so let's get with it. Well, there's good news to proclaim. Amen. She didn't stay silent. She didn't stay silent about what she had seen, what she had experienced, what she knew. She didn't stay silent about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want this to come across in a way this morning. I want to plug my battery charger into you and liven you up and help you to realize we have a responsibility to share our Savior that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, died on a cross 2,000 years ago, that came and gave his life so that we can have life. And he wants you to tell people the good news about salvation. And by the way, it's not just about life, it's about everlasting life. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. She remained faithful. She knew, Roth, that this was the answer. The answer had come. Israel had been waiting, and she did not stay silent about it. She shared the good news, and honey, that's what we've been called to do, is share the good news. You don't have to go to Africa to share the good news. You don't have to go to Georgia. You don't have to go to China or Philippines. You can share the good news right from your front porch. Amen? So like Simeon, and like Anna, we have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus' birth, and not just his birth, but his death and his burial and resurrection. He came for all people. Listen to this. You realize that in the earthly ministry of Jesus, he didn't just minister to the Jewish people. You know that he healed a Gentile that was filled with demons. He healed a Samaritan leper. He gave living water to an unclean Samaritan lady. He marveled at the faith of a Canaanite pagan. He healed a Roman centurion's servant. Listen, his ministry was not just to the Jews, but he came from the Gentiles, and he came for the people of 2025 and 2026. We've got to get the message out that Jesus has come for us. He's a gift from our Heavenly Father. You see, there's a scripture in Matthew 28. I don't know if I gave it to you, Blake, but we call it the Great Commission. It goes like this: go into all the world. Go into all the world. Anybody here a follower of Christ? That's who he's talking to. He's not just speaking to the 12 disciples. He's speaking to his followers. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you. You're not going alone to make disciples. I will be with you when you're making disciples. You won't feel all alone. Now, when he says go into all nations, whoo, you're making me breathe hard this morning. I'm trying to get to dinner. When he said go into all nations, do you realize that word is the word where we get our ethnicity word? I don't know if I'm saying it right. Ethnicity, all people groups, all countries, all nations, all kinds of people. He go into all the world and get all nationalities, all people groups. God loves every social class. Can I hear an amen today? Do you know that God loves the rich people? And thank God he loves the poor people. God loves those that are in the upper social class, and he also loves those that are in the lower class. Amen. He loves the powerful. He loves the powerless. He loves the religious, and he loves the non-religious. Look at the shepherds. We think about the shepherds out in the field at night. They're just out there watching over their flock. And if you've not seen this movie, you need to watch it. It's still on. I think it's still on. You can probably stream it on CBS. But those shepherds, you know, the shepherds in those days were nobodies. They were not considered even a people. They were outcasts. The shepherds were unreliable. But guess who the angels come to first? He comes to the shepherds first. You know, do you know the shepherds were not even allowed to go into the temple? But guess who the angel appeared to first? And they ran to see him that was born in a manger. God delivers his message to the social outcast first. How about the wise men? You see, you got the social outcast, but then you got the wise men who were the rich and the famous and those that had the ability to give. They were sophisticated. They were well-respected. They had prestige. They were the upper echelon. But yet we see that the good news came to them, and they went to see Jesus also. You got to understand, Mary and Joseph were God-fearing, devout believers. They were religious people, but they needed a Savior just like we did. Amen. You want to look in the genealogy of Jesus? Look in Matthew chapter 1. You'll find that in Jesus had a lot of knots in his family tree. I mean, not everybody was just pure and holy in his family tree. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it shows us, if you look at the family tree of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find out that none of us have gone too far. None of us are beyond help. None of us are beyond the call of salvation. None of us are beyond the hope of Jesus. Nobody has sinned too much that the grace of God cannot forgive you. Nobody's outside the reach of grace. So here's what I want to get to you today. The gift of Jesus. Whatever your story, whatever your background, whatever you've done, or whatever you've left undone, the gift of Jesus is still for you today. You're not too far gone. You say, well, I have fallen off the wagon so many times now. There's still hope for you. I don't care if you fell off the wagon last night at 1 a.m. There's still hope for you. Come on now. There's hope for you. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you said. You're not beyond the grace of God. The grace of God will still reach you. Jesus is for you. Turn to somebody right now and just look at them in the face and say, Jesus is for you. You might be a wise man or you might be a shepherd, but Jesus came for you. Amen. The gift of Jesus, the miracle, the wonder of his people. You know, there's a lot of people that just play religion, and they wonder why they never feel God. They never feel the presence of God. They go to church. They sit in church, arms crossed, frown on their face, pay their homage of a year, of an hour and a half or 2 hours, some an hour. They go and they pay their homage, and they're miserable. I don't even know why they come to church. They're miserable even in church, and they leave with nothing of any spiritual value. And you know what? I don't know if you're tired of playing those religious games or not, but Jesus came to give you life. How many knows Jesus didn't come to give religion? Did you hear me? Jesus didn't come to give religion. He came to give eternal life. Religion kills. Religion is you read about religion, you know, in the Bible, and all it did was bring death, and it never brought life. But Jesus came to bring life. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of playing these religious games that takes more than it gives. You want to know what the gift of Jesus is? A relationship. It's a relationship. Amen. It's not a religion. And you know what? All you got to do is receive Jesus. He's made it so simple. It's like Christmas time. Here's your gift. All you have to do, child, is open it up and receive him. Isn't that it? I mean, it's so simple, Roth. We've made it so complicated. Look at John 1 and 12. John 1, 12, all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave them the right or the authority to become the children of God. Don't you love Christmas time? How many likes, let's just be honest for a minute. How many likes receiving gifts? How many likes giving gifts? I think a little more hands went up on the giving side, but at least you were honest. We all like to receive. I don't know about you, but when you see under the tree a gift with your name on it, I'm sure you're thinking, wow, that's for me. That's for me. When I was a child, I knew how to name everything that was for me under the tree because I knew how to shake it. I knew how to cut it open just right and retape it. We knew all the tricks when Christmas morning came, we were so excited to get what we knew we were getting. You did the same. How many done that before? Sometimes you can shake the box because our parents didn't realize, you know, that if there's something in there that's jiggly or something that you think you can name that to pack it with, they didn't have peanuts back there in those days. So what I'm saying is, we all like to give, and we all like to receive gift. If my name's on it, to me, it's special. It's going to be special. I'm coming over to Tiff and Lou's house Wednesday night, and I expect there's going to be a gift. If there's not, there, if they didn't think about it, there will be now. There's going to be a gift with my name on it. No, I think you already gave us our Christmas present. That's right. They gave us our Christmas present at Thanksgiving. But you know when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Do you know you ought to put your name in that world? For God so loved Daryl Rhodes. God so loved Dwayne Massey. God so loved Gabe Lashley. God so loved Luke Creamer, Luke Hale, and Luke Creamer. God so loved, put your name in there. He even loved Jessica. See, miracles are still happening. He even loved Jessica. God so loved Jessica that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for her. You can put your name in there. So all I want you to see today, and I know this is so simple, it's probably an insult to your wisdom, but I just want us to see today, you know, that we have to recognize and receive the gift of Jesus, the gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus coming into our lives. I love what Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He recognized Jesus and brought and invited him in. So let's share that gift with others. Okay, let me just zip through this real quickly here. We have, how many knows we have a circle of influence? Everybody here has a different circle of influence. And we are to reach that circle, that sphere of influence that we have that contact with. You touch people's lives that I will never touch. You can bring them to this church and I can preach the best message in the world, but you have more influence on them than I do up here preaching. You have an influence of your people that you're around, and they will listen to you. They will listen to you. So we all have a sphere of influence, whether it's work, school, co-workers, your neighbors. Everybody say the wonder of his people. I want to tell you a story in closing this morning. Now, in just a moment, I'll have the worship team come up, but I want to tell this story first. It's not the first time I've told this story. In fact, I've told this story just about everywhere I go. But it's a story that shines kind of a bright light on the heart of the gospel. And I want you to listen again. Listen like you've never heard it before, okay? A little boy once received a pocket knife for Christmas. With childlike excitement and determination, he began to whittle day after day until he carved and shaped. And though it was small, though his hands were nicked and cut along the way, he kept working and made a beautiful little boat. The boy had vision. He created a little wooden boat with a handmade sail. It was the work of his own hands. It was so precious to him. One afternoon, he took his boat to a stream, set it in the water, placed it gently in the water, and immediately a gust of wind came and caught it, the sail, and carried that boat downstream. He chased the boat. He stumbled. He fell. The boat got away from him, and he could no longer even see the boat. His creation was gone. Months passed. One day, while he was in town with his father, the boy walked by one of the stores, and in the window, he stopped. He saw something that he knew was unmistakably his. He saw that boat sitting in the window for sale for $10. He knew that was his because he saw the cuts on his hand. He saw the scars on his hands and fingers. He rushed inside and told the clerk. He said, that boat in the window, that's my boat. That's my boat. I made it. I want my boat back. Shopkeeper said, "Son, I'm glad you recognize it, but someone else brought it in. And if you want it, you can have it for $10. The boy reached into his pocket and he pulled out all the money he saved. He placed it on the counter. The man gave him the boat, and his hands once more walked out of the door holding the boat. Someone overheard him whisper to that little boat, "You're mine twice. Once because I made you, and now because I bought you." Worship team, would you join us up here on the stage? Once because I made you, and now because I bought you. That is the heart of the gospel. Shall I explain? That's our story. God made us, created us in his own image, right? Placed us in the garden, man disobeyed God, he sinned, turned his back on God. Man fell into depravity. How many knows after that? The only way that man could have relationship with God or fellowship with God was through sacrifices, through the sacrifices of bulls and goats and pigeons and turtle doves and whatever God listed in his word. But do you know he shaped us? Do you know that we bear the fingerprints of God? He made us. He created us in his own image. But how many know, like the boat, we drifted away. We fell off the boat, basically, and drifted away. Couldn't control the currents. They carried us further and further from the one who created us. But how many knows God didn't just turn away and give up on us? I'm glad God didn't just say, well, I made you, now you're gone. Suffer. You live with it. You ever heard anybody say, son, you made your mistakes, now you just live with it. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to us? Stand to your feet. I feel like I got your attention if you'd stand up. God didn't say, you blew it. You fell off the wagon. And the good news that I have for you today is this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, is this. If you have messed up, if you have fallen off the wagon, if you have sinned, if you have turned your back on God, if you deliberately sinned, and you know it was wrong, but you did it anyway, God's still not going to turn his back on you if you'll turn to him. You see, you turned your back on him. He did not turn his back on you. And all you have to do is turn around, and he's there waiting for you like the prodigal son's father with his arms open saying, I'm still here, son. I'm still here. I know you rejected the gift. I know you messed up, but I'm still here. I'm so glad God didn't just shrug his shoulders and say, it's over. Aren't you glad he didn't just put his finger on us and say, mankind is doomed? You know what he did? He came after us. He came for us. Now, as we heard in the teaching last week, Genesis 3:15, till the coming of Jesus, everybody was looking forward to a Savior. They were looking forward to somebody to come and redeem them. That was a 4,000-year spread that they kept saying, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. 4,000 years. And by the way, guess what? We're saying he's coming again, right? Jesus is coming again. And you know what? I believe he could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come this week. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned right now. But it's been 2,000 years, and we're still looking. So you know what? If he doesn't come, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my best that I can to go into all the world and make disciples of anybody that will listen to this old preacher. God's given you a voice. Holden, God's given you a voice. Holden, you are gifted, son. God has given you the ability to speak. Listen, I don't know of too many blind people that worked at a radio station as a disc jockey, but you did. This kid worked at the radio station, couldn't see a thing that he was doing. But guess what? He could talk. He knew how to talk in a microphone. I'm telling you what, when God's gifted you, you better use it for his glory. Well, God didn't give me the gift to talk. Well, maybe he's given you the gift to serve, and serving sometimes will get people's attention as well. Maybe you can do good to somebody. That'll get their attention as well. In fact, the Bible says that sometimes we can just do good to people, be kind to them, let them see the goodness of God through you. Are you with me this morning? We have the responsibility. 2026, I'm telling you, we are going to get off our rear ends, and we're going to go into all the world, and we're going to make disciples of all nations. People in our people group, people in our circumference, people in our sphere of influence. Because of creation, we belong to him once, but because he's bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ, we now belong to him twice. You know what he's saying to you this morning? You're my son, daughter. You're my child, daughter. You're my child, son. You belong to me. Stop running. Stop flirting with the world. Stop messing around things that you know are not good for you spiritually. You see, church, this is why we worship. This is why we come to church, to worship the Lord, to praise Him, to enjoy His presence. I love seeing the presence of the Lord upon your faces and hear the testimonies of all that God's doing in your lives. Listen, you've got a story to tell. You don't need somebody else to tell your story. You tell your story. Nobody can tell your story like you can. You got a story to tell. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you this morning. Father, help us to never forget the price that Jesus paid and the price that you had to pay in giving up your Son, your only begotten Son. May we never forget the gift of Jesus. Remind us daily, God, of our responsibility to be like Simeon, to be like Anna, to tell all the people Jesus has already come. Do you know Jesus has already forgiven your sins? He died on the cross. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. You don't have to worm your way through this world. You're not a worm, O Jacob. But thou art a son. Thou art a daughter of the Lord. He made you. Took great time. When you think about how this human body's made, the intricacies, the every little nerve and every little joint, every little blood's everything. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created you, and now He has bought us back. Father, I pray for your people today in this audience and those that are watching on live stream. God, would you deal with anybody today that whose heart is not right with you, that today would be the day that they say, Jesus, I'm giving up my old life and I'm going to pick up the new life. I went in on that great exchange to give up a dead religion for a living relationship. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. If you're in the building today, I'm asking you today, would you make today the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Would you please not walk out of this place today untouched, unchanged by the power of God? If that's you, would you just be bold enough to get out of your seat and walk down here to the front? We have prayer warriors that will pray with you, lead you to Jesus. Anybody in this building today want to make it right with the Lord? You don't have to leave the same way you came. We're going to sing it one time, and then we'll change the order of the service. But we want to give you an opportunity. This is your day. Jesus came. Jesus came. He's here today for you.
Worthy is your name.
Yes.
Jesus.
Today's the day of salvation.
You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.